You're recording.
All righty. So we are now on section number three, informal interviews, board deliberation and action. First up, we have 2392 in regards to Amanda Melhus, DBM. Let me come forward, thank you. All right.
Good morning again.
Morning, okay. So this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Melhus in case number 2392. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Melhus, please come forward, which you already are, and introduce yourself, and then of course your attorney.
I'm Dr. Amanda Melhus.
Okay. I'm Leanne Hayes.
Great, thank you. Dr. Melhus, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censoring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have nothing to add.
Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Wright, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me well enough for recording?
We can.
Okay. On January 26, 2023, Indy, an 8.5-month-old female Labrador, was presented to respondent for a spay procedure. During the procedure, the dog went into cardiac arrest. Resuscitation efforts were unsuccessful and the dog passed away. Complainants expressed concerns the dog was over-medicated, specifically with respect to the buprenorphine administered during the procedure. They were also concerned with the respondent's ability to perform a spay procedure with the equipment used during the procedure.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Melhus, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Dr. Melhus, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. We've been in front of the board before and addressed most of the case that's been at issue thus far, and I'm not going to rehash it today, although I'm happy to answer questions about it, as is Dr. Melhus. Dr. Nosley at the last meeting had a question about anesthetic, which I anticipate is what will be discussed today. It's not entirely clear what the question is, but based on the investigative committee report, I anticipate that it's likely in regards to the propofol, so I did just want to clarify that documentation. The investigative committee report states that it doesn't know what the anesthetic log means, where it references the 13.6 as well as the quote drew up 7.0. It was 4 mL given via IV for induction. That can be seen on the typed record at page 2. The drew up 7 is in regards to how much propofol Dr. Melhus drew up in preparation for the appointment. But the text only gave 4 of that. The 13.6 is in reference to the maximum dose of propofol that could be administered during the procedure, but it was not, again, it was just 4, so they were well within the safe limits of that medication. I did also want to add that Dr. Melhus has changed her documentation since this case long ago, and it now has a slot that has how much has been drawn up, how much is actually given, and what the maximum dose is, so it's clear on her documentation. I hope that addresses the board's questions, but of course we are available for additional questions. I also want to emphasize again that we understand that this is a sad case. but that after significant investigation, Dr. Malhus did everything appropriately and within the standard of care, and so we are again asking for a dismissal of this case. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I would now like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Malhus. Dr. Wright?
Yes, I'll start off with this. So thank you for being here on this. So I have some questions that were formulated from Dr. Nosley around this, and again, my question's in here too. In relation to the anesthesia, we do see the concentration and the issues with the buprenorphine, and we can deal with that, but we have more questions around the sevoflurane here. So looking at the anesthetic monitoring sheet, at 8:10, we were at 2%, 10 minutes later, also 2%, 5 minutes later, also 2%, but then we went up to 8%, which is the maximum sevoflurane for our maximum rate for sevoflurane, and we were at that for 20 minutes when the heart stopped. So that is very concerning as to why were we at such a high level of sevoflurane anesthetic for 20 minutes, and if we can discuss what's going on there.
Sure. So at that time, at I believe 8:35, it was noted it was brought up to 8%. The patient had become reactive to me tugging on the ligaments during the spay. She was a very healthy dog, nice and tight ligaments, and she began reacting to me. So my technician turned off the anesthesia, the sevoflurane. She continued to be very reactive as I finished up the one side toward, and then into the second side. And that's where we hit the, at 8:55 is where she crashed. But so with that being said, the patient remained painful. And so my technician was responding to how the patient was reacting on the table. She had a high respiratory rate, she had a high heart rate, her blood pressure was becoming high as well. And so at that time, we were responding to how the patient was doing under anesthesia. And if I could just,
okay,
add a little bit extra, I'm sorry to interrupt. But in preparing for today, Dr. Malhus and I were reviewing the anesthesia and have discussed the sevoflurane. And so we did do some research into the medical literature about sevoflurane and what reactions an animal might have to higher concentrations. And I do have that literature if any of the board members want to have it. I believe it's from the drug manufacturer. But the most frequent adverse reaction is hypotension, followed by a slew of other things that the dog didn't have, which I'm happy to outline if you would like. But there wasn't any indication in her vitals or otherwise that would be consistent with sevoflurane overdose or some type of adverse reaction to the medication. And so it was, as Dr. Malhus said, just an appropriate response to the pain that the animal was exhibiting.
Okay, thank you. So more questions from Dr. Nosley here. How long after asystole occurred did the closure of the incision take to complete? How were chest compressions performed during that time?
Chest compressions began before I closed up the incision. My technician was doing their best to perform it while the dog was still in dorsal recumbency. I did it as fast as I could. I would say about 3 minutes. I got everything closed up, and she was then put into lateral to continue compressions.
But at the last reading of 8:55, when did the actual chest compressions start? I don't have any time on that. The first thing I have after that is 9:06. Medications were administered, which is 11 minutes after the last monitoring report.
I would say
report.
It was probably 9:02, 9:01. I really can't say for sure, as there was a cluster of activity happening at that point.
So you did about 5 minutes of chest compressions before administering any medication?
No, the written record indicates that chest compressions, this is how I read it, chest compressions started at 9:05 when the patient went into cardiac arrest, and Epi was given 1 minute later at 9:06. Followed by antecedent at 9:08. Yes.
Okay. So it's 9:05. Okay. Those are the questions I have right now. Does anybody else have any questions they'd like to ask at this point?
Any further questions from the board? Okay, thank you both. You may step back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we are now going to hear from the complainant. Mr. Kevin Wright, if you would like to come forward. Thank you for being here today. Can you please state your name for the record, and then I'm going to swear you in?
Kevin Wright.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wright, do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. We have read the materials you have provided, and you may address the board.
No relation to Dr. Wright.
I went back and reviewed my July statement, and I am adamant that today is going to be less emotional. It is hard, obviously. This is my dog, and that I care very much for, but I'm trying to keep this as factual as possible, so please bear with me here. What I'm trying to understand is why, from my perspective, things keep changing. The document story has changed a bit. It seems like excuses from the last July meeting about inconsistencies in practices as far as how documents are recorded and how paperwork is filed and so forth. And I've re-listened to that many times to try to grasp an understanding of what's in the mindset of Dr. Melhouse and her attorney on that side of it. I personally like Dr. Melhouse. She had a very good bedside manner with my dog. I felt very confident going into that procedure that day that I would pick her up later in the afternoon, and that's obviously not what happened. And it is obviously, you know, everybody in this room knows a lot more than I do about veterinary medicine, but 0.1% is about the fatality rate per spay. So obviously I have a lot of questions, and that's why I went ahead and filed the complaint with Reagan Cowan, my significant other. We lived together, and this was a shared pet with us and her son. I'm looking for accountability. That's nothing. I'm not looking for punishment. That's up to the board to figure out. I just want accountability as to what happened, and I also want to understand why things seem to be changing as this case has gone on. This is my third time. Well, this is my second time. Reagan Cowan was at the first preliminary meeting. Obviously, it's been a significant amount of time since this has passed. What I learned since all this, I'm not going to read too much of what I wrote because I thought it'd be easier to do that, but I'm just going to summarize as best as I can. Indy did have a kennel cough that was documented, and we were originally scheduled to do this procedure in December when she would have been exactly 7 months. There's obviously an ongoing debate, from what I understand, within the veterinarian world as far as when is the ideal time for a spay procedure. Dr. Melhouse brought this to my attention when I first probably the first or second time that I brought the Indy in for a meeting, and she told me that she doesn't necessarily prescribe to the 12-month waiting period, that she feels comfortable doing it at an earlier age, which I wanted to do because I just didn't know any better, and I wanted her to be able to have fun with other dogs and not have other complications. So we scheduled it for December, but she had a cough, and she came in for the cough, and that was treated. And then after the holidays, we agreed to schedule it for the January 26th. And I also received 3 emails, I didn't realize that until this morning, from the clinic stating that, a reminder, just a generic email, your dog's ready for this procedure. And that started in November 16th, December 1st, and December 16th, the same day that it was supposed to originally happen. So they wanted to get at least the system that they were using, NBA was using, wanted to get this thing scheduled. I'm skipping the part about the day of. I will mention this for point of clarification. When I dropped her off, I was met by an employee. It was not any employee that I recalled seeing before. It wasn't the normal tech, nor was it Dr. Melhouse. Weighed her in and took me to the room. I signed the consent form, and the consent form is interesting. I just read this morning. It talks about anesthesia. Talks about how it's going to be injected, and allows fluids to run through the anesthesia, IV fluids during surgery, etc. And then the second paragraph talks about, while undergoing surgery, your pet will receive anesthetic drugs that prevent pain. Because we care about your comfort and strongly believe that pain relief is important, additional pain medications will be provided as needed to control the level of your pet's discomfort both after surgery and during their recovery at home. Well, I've never heard of buprenorphine. My mouth's gonna dry using water, but apparently that's an opioid. I didn't even realize I was an opioid until we met the day after. There's no mention of giving an opioid during the procedure. I've learned new terms during this process, the difference between preoperative and perioperative. There was a discrepancy in the paperwork, apparently, as they're stating. In her written report, buprenorphine, I rehearsed before I came in.
That is a hard one. I still can't say it either.
So it was given, according to what she typed up, it was given preoperative. And during we had a meeting the day after, because the day that Indy passed, there was a meeting in the exam room with the corpse of my dog in front of us, and her and her office manager wanted to discuss what's moving forward and also get our consent for a necropsy, which we did. We didn't realize that we were kind of giving up our rights at that point, but that's what we did. We were in shock and trauma. Questions were asked both sides, and we went home and I said, can we schedule a meeting tomorrow, because I wanted to collect myself and I had questions. So we did. We went back. The meeting was scheduled in that room, the same exam room, and we asked if we could move it to another venue that wasn't quite as triggering. And we did go to Dr. Melhouse's office with Reagan, myself, and Chantel, who is her office manager, and I thought Dr. Melhouse was very forthcoming. She wanted to give as much information as she could. Obviously, I think she was a little bit guarded for obvious reasons. She notified us that one of the very first calls that she made was to the insurance company to, quote, protect her license. She disclosed that she's slow at spays. This is a direct quote. We actually notified her that we were going to be taking notes, and Reagan was typing notes during this. We did not record it, audio, but we did take notes. And she said that she's slow at spays because she does not often perform spays. That was obviously concerning. I didn't realize that she was disclosed as her inexperience at that. So I'm not focused so much on the anesthesia, because honestly, I don't know anything about that. It came up during that interview the day after that the opioid was given to her after, what the doctor said was after the first ovary was removed. And I thought that was strange, because I thought, you know, what little I know, pain medication is given after a procedure, not during. But I asked if that was standard practice. She said, yes, that is standard practice. I said, did she have an allergic reaction to that? And she said, it's possible. And then we asked at the end of the meeting, can we get copies of all the medical paperwork? And they did. They emailed those to us, but they did not send the respiratory monitoring report. We asked in that meeting for contact information, because we realized in the short period after our dog's passing that Stonecrest was not an independently owned veterinarian clinic. They're owned by NBA, obviously, and we didn't know that. Then we did. So we asked for a meeting with the regional director, and we had that meeting. It was set up for Adrian Coronado had that meeting with us on February 6th. It was a phone call meeting, and during that meeting, we asked for a copy of this monitoring report, because it had come to my attention from a friend of mine whose daughter is a tech in another state that we should ask her that. I never even heard of it. We didn't have it. So she immediately sent that. And that's where everything started for me, started to come unraveled with this buprenorphine. it's written as point, it's written as 0.3 in the typed report, but the handwritten respiratory monitoring report during the procedure, as everyone has probably seen by now, clearly states that it was given, it was even handwritten at 8:30. Anesthesia started at 8:04 and surgery started at 8:20. So then 10 minutes into the procedure is when this drug was given to her. I've obviously been focused on this drug. Dr. Wright, in what I heard leading up to me sitting down here, talked about the anesthesia. I have no idea. All I know is that at 8:30 that drug was given, and shortly thereafter, I'm a layman, I'm looking at heart rates going from 50, 53, suddenly within 5 minutes to 82, and then 99, 99, 99. Respiratory rate, same thing, same type of spike. And everything about this indicates that that drug was given at a concentration of 0.6. And in the last hearing, her attorney stated that she normally crosses that out. I don't know, that seems strange why a vet clinic would just cross that out and not have it on their forms. And I apologize, my stuff here is all over the place. That is part of the anesthesia, this is a quote, that is a part of the anesthesia form as it comes. So Dr. Melhouse normally crosses out 0.6 and writes 0.3. She was just using up the last 0.3 vials that were on hand from the previous veterinarian. As I understand, I don't know the dates, but I think Dr. Melhouse had been there for about a year since the previous vet passed away, I believe is what happened. But she took over the clinic about a year prior. I don't know the exact dates, but that was what the excuse was. And then she goes on to state that, quote, even if 0.6 was given, even though we don't believe it was, that was not enough to cause the death. So if I say I don't believe something happened, I'm not a, that means I kind of think it didn't happen. It doesn't mean I'm stating emphatically it didn't happen. So, and then they went on to talk about the dosage as a typo error. There are two typo errors that were referred to a lot during their statement last July. And I understand that there is a typo with regards to the typed report where it talks about preoperative versus perioperative, but then the dosage does not make sense because the dosage is clearly written everywhere in the handwritten form at 0.6. And that's all that I know. I'm just looking for the right answers on this. So to wrap it up, I apologize if I've gone too long. I simply don't buy the narrative that last month or last July it was a quote random anesthetic death. I don't believe it was random. That was what it was, and that this is just a documentation error. That was the other thing that I heard. It's basically whose story do we all believe? I'm just going by the paperwork. And is it necessary to administer an opioid during a procedure? I don't know. That's a question that I have. And I just want accountability. This is not personal. I just want accountability so that this doesn't happen to another family. And I thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to ask if any board members have questions for the complainant.
As the lead, I don't actually have any questions. I understand some of the questions that he asked that I'll be doing a discussion on, but I don't have any specific questions for the owner. I do want to extend my sympathy to your loss.
Thank you. Do any other board members have questions? No? Okay. Thank you. You may step back.